I have enemies in South America. Bad things might happen. Stay here, Tom. Explore London. You'll have a wild time. We'll go travelling together another year. All right? You might think I was dumb to argue. You might be saying to yourself, what's wrong with this guy? Who wouldn't want a week alone in a flat just off Portobello Road, without parents, without teachers, without his irritating little brother or his know-it-all older sister? Why didn't he just shut up and take the keys and have the best week of his life? Well, I thought all that too. And then I thought, gold and silver, buried on an island in Peru. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to see. I pleaded and cajoled and begged, but my uncle kept saying no. I said I'd pay for the flight myself, but he just laughed, which was fair enough. I only had £20 in the world, and that was what Dad had given me to last a whole week in London. I promised to be helpful and useful and worth taking too, and he shook his head and said he was quite sure that he'd rather be alone. I said he couldn't leave me here because I was too young. It was illegal. What if social services found out? They'd call the police, who would arrest Uncle Harvey and throw him in jail for child abuse. That was when he started looking worried. I spoke in the deep voice of a newsreader on the telly. Now we're going live to London, where our correspondent can give us more details of the evil uncle who left his nephew to rot all alone in a top-floor flat. That's not funny, said Uncle Harvey. Look on the bright side, I said. You'll be famous. Don't be ridiculous. You'll be on the front page of every newspaper in the country. Oh, stop it! They'll have your mugshot, I said. You know, the one that the police take after you've spent a night in the cells when you're looking unshaven and dirty and very, very guilty. Don't try to blackmail me, said Uncle Harvey. There's no point. You are not coming with me, and that's final. Chapter 3. London to Lima is 10,000 kilometres. We did it in 17 hours. A two-hour flight from England to Spain, a three-hour stop in Madrid airport, and then 12 more hours flying across the Atlantic and the Andes. Have you ever been on a 12-hour flight? If you haven't, don't bother. It's miserable from start to finish. Sure, you get free meals, but they're gross. And you get a console attached to the seat with about 500 different movies. But you don't want to watch any of them because you're so desperate to go to sleep, but you can't get to sleep because the seats are so uncomfortable. So you spend the whole night shuffling and groaning and twisting and turning, and then, when you finally drop off, they switch on the lights and wake you up, and you don't know where you are or what time it is. Then you look at your uncle and you realise he's still snoozing like a baby because he has a blanket over his knees and an inflatable pillow wrapped around his neck and earplugs in his ears and a mask covering his eyes, and you think, why didn't he offer all that stuff to me? I sat beside him, crammed into my seat, wriggling and fiddling, trying to get comfortable. When I wasn't watching movies or attempting to sleep, I read the rough guide to Peru. I convinced Uncle Harvey to buy me a copy at Heathrow. He told me it wasn't worth it. He said guidebooks were for wimps. But I wanted to know some basic information about where we were going. Peru is bigger than Britain and France added together. Did you know that? And it's one of the most diverse countries in the world. It has mountains, desert, and tropical jungle, plus a coastline that is almost 2,500 kilometres long. Today was Tuesday. We'd arrive in Lima on Wednesday morning. Our flights home left next Monday night, arriving in London on the Tuesday, giving me just enough time to race back to Uncle Harvey's flat, open the door to Mum and Dad, and compliment them on their tans. We had 5 full days in Peru. 5 days to search 2,500 kilometres of coastline and find the Island of Thieves. Oh, and we didn't have a plan. 5 days, 2,500 kilometres, and no plan. What could possibly go wrong? Uncle Harvey finally woke up when the plane landed. He pulled off his eye mask, plucked out his earplugs, and stretched his arms. I'm ready for a huge breakfast. How about you, Tommy boy? Are you hungry? I've had breakfast already. They gave us some about an hour ago. Was it disgusting? Yes, it was, actually. Then you deserve another. We'll go to the Café Flores. It's one of the few places in Lima that serves a decent cup of coffee.
I don't like coffee.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't like the taste.
How perverse. Oh, well, They do good toasted sandwiches, too. Or maybe you'd like to try the national dish of Peru.
Sure, I said. What is it?
Guinea pig and chips. Yeah, right. I'm not joking, said Uncle Harvey. You can't leave Peru without tasting their national dish. They take a guinea pig, chop him in half, open him out, and fry him on a griddle. Delicious. But I suppose it's not the best thing for breakfast. We'll try some tonight.
No way, I said. I am not eating guinea pig.
Uncle Harvey just smiled that same irritating smile, the one that said, I know more than you do. I could see he was quite confident that by the end of the week, I would have eaten a guinea pig, and asked for seconds. We had to wait about an hour to go through passport control, then about another to collect our luggage. I said,
Why is this taking so long?
Welcome to South America, replied Uncle Harvey. When we finally had both our bags, we wheeled them into the corridor marked Nothing to Declare. Uniformed guards watched us through dark glasses. On the other side of customs, we emerged in the main part of the airport. Taxi drivers surrounded us, waving their arms and shouting in a mixture of Spanish and English. Uncle Harvey shoved them aside and marched towards the car hire desks. I hurried after him. No one tried to grab my bag or tempt me into their taxi. I suppose they knew I wasn't worth bothering with. It was obvious I didn't have any money. Uncle Harvey hadn't booked a car in advance. He said they're cheaper if you just turn up and bargain. We joined the queue and shuffled slowly forward, watching people ahead of us hand over their passports and driving licenses. We were almost at the front of the queue, just one more couple between us and the desk, when a man in a dark suit sidled up to my uncle and said,
Mr. Harvey Trelawney?
He really did speak like that. Uncle Harvey said,
Who are you? My name is Riccardo Casanini. Could you come with me, please? My car is waiting outside.